Right before I left the service of the Air Force, back in 1983, I had moved around a couple of times, and then I actually stayed in California after the service, bouncing around from one friend's house to another. After a couple months of doing that, I was told to leave the house of a good friend, and I was homeless. I lived in my car for a few days, and then I contacted one of my old Air Force buddies that I was stationed with in Germany and also there in California. Don took me in right away. He was sharing a home with some other friends that I met through him. But that only lasted for about a month or so, because Don and my friend Joe were both getting married to their sweethearts and moving out. So me and another guy, we found another place to stay. But that was short-lived, as the original tenants, they moved out. And there we were, left alone. We sat there looking at each other, wondering how we ended up here together with each other, not really knowing one another very well. I could see it in Ken's eyes. How did I end up with him? Well, we got a hold of Don again, and he and his wife were living in a duplex, and there was one available. And even better, they were looking for someone to manage these duplex apartments. I got the job, and me and Ken moved in. Don was a true friend and always there for me when I needed help. Do you have a friend like that? Maybe you can name several, or maybe you're feeling a bit friendless right now. Or maybe you're wondering if it's worth it because of the betrayal of past friends. Or maybe you just think that you can stand alone without the need of friendship at all. However, as we will see, scriptures caution us about trying to make it on our own, and shows that we are much better off with friends. There's a great value in deep friendships, and that is what we will explore today. The title, The Value of Deep Friendships. Today I stay in contact with many friends, mostly through Facebook. There's only a handful that I actually call and talk with on the phone. And I never really liked writing letters back in the day, and rarely called friends then. Quite honestly, I didn't feel like most of my so-called friends were really, truly great friends. More like acquaintances or co-workers that I got along with. I also never ever had a steady girlfriend. And sometimes I felt a little bit rejected by all. There were no books that I knew about or cared for about making friends. No Friendship for Dummies book. At times I wanted friends, but other times I felt indifferent about friendships. Too much drama. But deep down, I really wanted good friends. And I did find some along my life's journey. We want friendships. But how do we make new friends? It can be intimidating to put ourselves out there. What if we are rejected or made fun of? I felt this way many times. How do we find a friend who will be a true friend? How do we choose our friends? Is there a book which will help us in the pursuit of friendship? My friend and roommate, Ken, reintroduced me to a book about friendship. He also introduced me to a church that truly worshiped God. We do have in our possession a book about friendship. There is a friendship manual, and it's been around for thousands of years. It's called the Bible. There are whole sections that deal with friendships and relationships. And one of the best parts of the Bible to read on the ins and outs of friendship is the book of Proverbs. Not only does this book speak on different aspects of being a friend and friendship in general, it also discusses the attitudes and perspectives behind being the type of friend that people want. We want friends, good friends. So let's look at friendship and explore, first of all, three reasons why we need friends. Three reasons why we need friends. One of the truly tragic stories in the Old Testament was that of King Solomon. What must Solomon's last days have been like? Here was a man that God had given great wisdom to, yet he forsook it all in the pursuit of materialism. During his final years, he was able to look back at the vanity in his pursuits and wrote much of what he had learned in the book of Ecclesiastes. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and let's look at verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have good reward or return for their labor. Verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. One of the first reasons that we need, or why we need friends, is a friend gives encouragement when we're weak. A friend gives encouragement when we're weak. A true friend will be there to give us encouragement when we are weak. When we stumble and fall, we need a strong arm of a friend to be there to help us up. When we are ready to throw in the towel on Christianity because it just seems too tough, a friend will be there to help us to regain our vision. When we become discouraged over a sin that we just can't seem to overcome, a friend will be there to give us encouragement to hang tough. When we stumble and fall, a friend will be there to help us up, not push our faces in the dirt. Ken had to move out of our apartment, and soon he was getting married. Everybody was getting married. I didn't have a girlfriend to get married to. So I was left to fend for myself. Even though I was learning about God as he was calling me and Ken introduced me to the church, I fell into deep despair. It was one of the darkest periods of my life. I have a couple pictures of what I looked like then that I keep hidden away. But sometimes I look to remind myself of how bad things got. I had formed a wall around myself and avoided all contact. Remember that good friend of mine that kicked me out before? Well, we repaired the damage done, and we're good friends again. He came over to see me, and he couldn't believe his eyes. I was a mess. He immediately took me to his apartment and helped me back from the depths of despair. Saved my life in a way. There is no greater blessing from God than a friend's encouragement to us when we are weak. But, as the scriptures say, woe to those who do not have such a friend. It is frightening, dangerous, and a lonely feeling to be discouraged, to reach out for someone and find that there's no one there to help you up. Who catches you when you fall? Who knows you well enough to sense when you are slipping and loves you enough to pull you up? These type of relationships do not pop up overnight. They take time to cultivate. But the end results are worth the effort, especially when the time comes when we need that friend. Men often seem to have the most difficult time in cultivating these type of relationships. They've been conditioned to believe that real men stand alone. Real men don't cry. Real men don't share their feelings. There is a sophisticated Greek word for that attitude. Hogwash. Relationships are one of God's ways for sustaining us. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we look at verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That word is paraklesis. Verse 4, who comforts, that word is parakaleo. Yeah, I did practice these. Who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Romans 12, verses 6 and 8. Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. In verse 8 it says, he who exhorts. I mean, that is the same word there, parakaleo. And the next verse, or the next sentence, in exhortation, which is also paraklesis. Paraklesis. Comfort. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says pretty much the same thing. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. God gives us this comfort. We need to give this comfort to each other. Another reason why we need friends is a friend lends support when we're vulnerable. A friend lends support when we're vulnerable. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? When we feel vulnerable and exposed, we can use the support of a friend. Maybe the security blanket of your life has suddenly been yanked away from you through illness, loss of job, loss of a loved one. As many of you know, my mom died at home on the first day of unleavened bread in 1987 as we were singing the last hymn of the service at church. My dad and two sisters were there with her as she drew her last breath. I was in church. I saw her 3 days prior to that. That was the last time. I had to be strong for my dad and my sisters through this. But inside, I was torn apart. I felt guilty that I wasn't there with her, even though it was God's holy day. I stood strong in front of others, friends, family, church members. I was a tough man, a man's man. No time for crying. Remember, real men don't cry. One real good friend saw that I was truly hurting, could see right through me. This friend comforted me and gave me a shoulder to cry on. I could be myself around this friend. I could be vulnerable. I could share my emotions without ridicule. I knew right then and there, that I could never afford to lose that friendship. So I married her. It's at times like these when we need the warmth of a friend. Someone who will pull up next to us, sit there and wait with us until the night passes. You don't necessarily need to be have an eloquent vocabulary, several theology and speech degrees, and a vast knowledge of psychology to be qualified to lend support to somebody else. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort to give someone comfort. But all too often we hear stories where no one helps. All they do is wish you well and send you on your way. Let's see what the friendship manual has to say about that. James chapter 2, we'll read verse 15 and 16. James chapter 2, verse 15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warm and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Yes, how indeed. There's always a way to help. Always a way to help. Another reason that we need friends is a friend provides protection when we're attacked. A friend provides protection when we're attacked. Back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, another wise thing from Solomon. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. Lone Ranger Christians make easy targets for Satan's arrows. Don't be fooled. We are never out of his sights. He is always ready to pick off unguarded Christians. In the army, we used to have a fellow soldier with us all the time that we called our battle buddy. We are never alone. We're in pairs. We should not stand alone, but we should have fellow Christians with us. Good friends by our side. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But surprisingly, some of the most vicious attacks come not from without, but from within our own camp, from our brethren. Pastors are assaulted by critics in the congregation. Power-hungry shepherds trample over the flock on their way to the top. Gossips, fresh out of facts but loaded with rumors, wound fellow brethren before they can defend themselves. We need the protection of faithful friends in these instances. Friends will remind the ministry that God is using them when they have been attacked unjustly. Friends will set the record straight when an untruth about us reaches their ears. Friends will stand between you and the judgmental crowd when they are prepared to throw stones. And when in our own insecurity, we conjure up imaginary enemies, friends will be there to help us see the real one, even if it lies within us. Friends won't lie to protect us or refuse to confront us when we're wrong, but they will stand with us when the assaults come. Remember that good friend who kicked me out and then came to my rescue when I needed him the most? Our dispute was over false accusations against me by others. Things were said that twisted the truth. It was corrected by another friend who uncovered the lies and helped Tom and I repair our friendship. Complete restoration and reunion. Proverbs 27. I kind of mentioned Proverbs 27, or I mean Proverbs, the book on friendship. And we are going to get into some of those. But Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now that we have seen why we need friends, we need to see what qualities should exist in a true friend. In our friendship manual, no one modeled friendship better than Jesus Christ. He was master and teacher to his disciples. And even more so, he was their friend. He devoted his time to them, ministered to them, lived with them, and finally died for them. What qualities or characteristics do we see in his friendship? Turn to John chapter 15 for the answer. John chapter 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lie down one's life for his friends. We may never actually be called upon to die for a friend, but are we willing to lie down our lives by sacrificing time, money, or convenience for a friend without thinking twice about it? True friends give of themselves so others will grow. What are you willing to do for your friends? Verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you, is what Jesus said. We show our commitment to God by obeying his commandments. To show that what matters to him also matters to us. That's what friends do. Likewise, a sense of oneness and goals and agenda will mark our closest friendships. We will have a union of philosophy and a shared outlook on life. Do friends ever disagree? Surely they do. Surely they do. But the foundational values will remain undisturbed. To walk together, you must be headed in the same direction and agree to walk together regardless of the differences. This should prevent us, or should this prevent us from making friends outside the church? We should be careful in choosing our friends, and there are many examples in the Proverbs, but how can we be a light if we do not make friends outside the church? However, you will find that your closest friends will be those with whom you share ideals, goals, and commitments with. We're a close family here, but do we really know each other? We need to find time outside of church to do this. I'm always looking for new friends. We can be stronger in our friendship. We will be together in eternity. Think about that. All of us, we're going to be there in eternity. What kind of friendships do we have now? We're a family. We're a small little group. Verse number 15 of John 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus Christ shared everything he knew with his disciples. He revealed God the Father to them. the source of his power and wisdom. Friendship goes beyond surface conversation. It shares the deep matters of the heart, not without discretion, but openly and without fear of ridicule. Do you have such a friend? Do you allow another to see beyond the facet that we wear to protect ourselves? Friends get inside. They know things about us that no one else knows. And they are trustworthy enough to repeat only what's appropriate. I have a few friends that truly know me and my struggles. One I miss, Dave, because we were able to reach that level of trust very quickly. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask my Father in my name, he may give you. Jesus Christ picked his disciples. He chose them and trained them for the job of going into the world and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. In fact, they were simple men. Even though they were simple men, this did not stop him from choosing them. Fishermen, a tax collector, ordinary people. He invested his time and his energy in these men, preparing them for their future. That's what friends do. They invest themselves in the growth, dreams, and success of others. A friend believes in and sees the best in others. They help another achieve the potential that God has put within us. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. As I was finding my way back to God's church after being deceived into believing false teachings, there was one friend I could count on for wise counsel. Many times our conversation led to the discussion of the Sabbath. This was the catalyst in my research that helped guide me back to God's truth. I still rely on the wisdom from my longtime friend, Ben. Let's look at some more good advice from the Proverbs in our manual for friendship. One of the best principles about how to be a good friend is recorded in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Or you can insert in there a sister. Proverbs 17:17 says a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. What do you bring to a friendship? Being a friend involves care and loyalty. It means being truly interested in the other person, in his or her needs and feelings. This means giving more to the friendship than taking from it. The poet Maya Angelou, I think, said it best here. As you grow older, you will discover that you have two hands. One for helping yourself, and the other for helping others. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27 and verse 9. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Do not forsake your friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Friendship means being there when needed. It means being someone who is dependable and accountable. Friendship is all tempered and with not being inconsiderate, as Proverbs 27 verse 14 says, he who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted as a curse to him. You bet it does. Do not gossip. Do not gossip. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. Proverbs 16, verse 28, it says, a whisperer separates the best of friends. Or pass along something that would hurt your friend in public. As Proverbs 17, verse 9 says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. That's not the kind of friends we need. See, the Proverbs also show us the type of people with whom we should not make friends with. Avoid those who engage in sinful and lawless ways, we're advised. In chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. Along with those who sow discord, 6, verse 14. And those who live a lifestyle that will leave them broken. Chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. Which is about the wicked man. We don't want to be the wicked man. We don't want the wicked man to be our friend. We must be wise in choosing our friends. Especially those in the world, as they can lead you astray with worldly desires. Pray to God and ask God to guide you in making new friends, repairing old friendships, and improving on the relationships you have with friends right now. I've mentioned many times that I believe it was God who sent me to St. Louis, where I came back into God's little flock. But there was another reason. A member in that congregation there had just lost one of his best friends as this person left for another organization, and it kind of left a hole in his heart, and their friendship did not end very well. I was there in Missouri alone, as my family remained here, and really needed a friend, even though I didn't know it. And I wasn't really looking for one. Ralph and I became really good friends in such a short time, and we had so much in common. It was meant to be. God will help you as he fulfilled a need for us that we needed at the time. As much as physical relationships and friendships are important to us, there is another one that is even more important. Each of us needs a very deep and personal relationship, a friendship with God. In developing a friendship with God, we are strengthened. God is the perfect friend who is there for us at the right time, anytime, and even promises to protect us and to guide us. The same principles that make a physical friendship work also apply if we are to have a friendship with God. Do we take His correction? Are we truthful with Him? Are we accountable and dependable? Do we give back to God the positive aspects of a friendship? Listening to Him, talking to Him, and building Him up with what we say. The great thing about our friendship with God is that even when we let down our end of the friendship, He waits for us and receives us back when we repent. Brethren, we need friends. We need each other. There are times coming that will test friendships, so we need to develop them and strengthen them right now. Deep friendships require cultivation over many years, although I've been lucky enough to develop them a little bit quicker. I guess I've just found the right friends. Friends who share the same faith. I've been lucky to reconnect with some old friends. Some of these friends I mentioned. I got together with my friend Tom, the one that kicked me out and brought me back in. We shared time together at the feast last year. And we did something that we used to do. We went hiking up in the mountains with my son. That was a lot of fun. And Ken, who introduced me to the church, moved near the home office in Ohio last summer. And we've been able to get together a couple times and attend services together, which has been really nice. My friend Don, that always was there for me, he was here from Washington State visiting his family down in Bradford, Pennsylvania. And he stopped by with his wife and his granddaughter last month and spent a couple hours with us. It was nice to see them. Nice to see them again. And I make sure that I get to see Dave and Ralph a couple times a year. And I see Ben every week. These are friendships that I cherish and desire for you to have such friendships as well. To conclude, I'd like to share the advice from Paul and Peter, which were inspired by God to say to us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and the more as you see the day approaching. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul was inspired to say this. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for their own interest, but also for the interest of others. And I find it very interesting that the very next verse that he says, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. First Peter four and verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Brethren, let's take time to cultivate close friendships. Let's make new friends at the feast this year. Most stay in their comfort zone and they want to hang out with their old friends. By all means, get reacquainted with old friends and build stronger bonds with them. But reach out to others and make new friends. We're all headed in the same direction, eternity. We're all headed in the same place. Let's travel together as a family. As the day approaches, we're going to need one another for encouragement, support, and protection. Traveling the spiritual road alone may seem fine for a time, but you just might need a friend or need to be one at the next intersection.